Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
LOI Match Day on Off the Ball.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined by Evan Galvin on this week's podcast from Ringmahon Rangers. Evan, big week for the club. I just wanted to ask you first, are you still actually in pre-season now at the moment?
Yeah, I'd say we're only back about two and a half weeks. I don't think we'd have been back at all, to be honest, because our season doesn't start for another month and a half. But it's obviously with the Kerry game, we all kind of have to roll off the coach and get training again, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. With that in mind, I was talking to John Cremin, who's the manager of St. Michael's, ahead of their big game as well against Waterford. Just regarding the format, because now of the different synchronisation, the way the leagues are played between League of Ireland and also with the amateur leagues then as well, it doesn't really, I suppose, give us the opportunity of seeing any shocks in the first round as much maybe as we would have seen in the past.
No, it probably doesn't suit the intermediate teams. Like, I suppose, that's it. We played Treaty there last season. It was 4-3. That was probably mid to the back end of our season, so we were as fit as fiddles as well. Like, but we've a good team. We've plenty of experience. Like, Macadiano, Garrod, Rico, there'd be plenty of our lads would have played. It's only the cross channel growing up our League of Ireland. So, we have a good side, so we fancy it.
Yeah, and were you hoping to get a League of Ireland club? Was that the hope for? I know.
It always makes it more interesting, to be fair. Like, obviously, you're playing your own kind of, you're playing Munster Senior League teams, you're playing teams in Dublin in the Intermediate Cup or whatever during the year. So, I think it's always nice to kind of have a team who's, so obviously, they're supposedly a step up and stuff, and probably a better pitch or a stadium, a bit more atmosphere. So, definitely, yeah.
Just regarding yourself, I was checking up your stats online. I found you on Transfer Market, and
plus my player value.
It looks like you've. Listen, I won't divulge that, okay? Just in case there's any agents listening, okay? But I'm looking at your positions, and it looks like you're down as a centre forward. But I think you've played all over the park at this stage. Probably the only position you haven't played is in goal.
Yeah, I definitely don't have the height for a centre forward. Anyway. I kind of play off the left with Ringmahon. I kind of play midfield from time to time as well. I suppose when I was younger, I would have kind of started as a striker when I was a young fella, kind of growing up, and then I would have kind of dropped off and kind of played in that little number 10 role. Like, so, kind of midfielder off the left. I'm definitely not a centre forward or a full back or anything anyway.
And is this how many seasons now are you with Ringmahon at this stage?
Two. I stopped for a while, 6-7 months. And I went back and I kind of played one or two other teams in the Munster Senior League. But I kind of found my feet at Ringmahon. I'm happy out there now. So I'm there 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
No getting rid of me now.
How's your own form been? Are you enjoying playing for them now?
Love it there. Yeah, happy out. We have a good group of lads. And I suppose at this level as well, everyone's working. So there's a social side to it, you know.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
We have a good buzz, like. So yeah, I'm loving it down there.
And who's coaching the team now at the moment? Who's your manager?
So Basil Foley's the manager, but you'd have other lads involved there. You'd have Derek, you'd have Flipper, Richie St. Ledger. So there's four or five always there, you know. Rob is involved as well. And kind of Danny Long started helping out this year. And Garrod Marcy, to be fair, he's still playing with us, but he's a little bit more hands-on with the coaching this season, which is good. So everyone has something to bring to the table, you know what I mean? So, but Basil is the main man. I have to say that.
Garrod, what a player he was.
Yeah, still is. Made a massive difference there last year. Definitely in the bigger games, he was handy up in St. Martha's away now and in the Intermediate Cup games. So, but it's good to see him kind of getting his bit of experience in with the coaching as well. And he's well able for that too. So,
yeah, absolutely. Just on your own League of Ireland experience, because you had a couple of clubs there. You played for Waterford United back in the day. It was Longford Town as well. Kind of how has that experience kind of benefited you now playing for Ringmahon Rangers?
Very good, I suppose. It was obviously when I was League of Ireland, it wasn't full time, but it was probably a bit, there's a bit more commitment in it, obviously, especially in my case, because like the clubs you mentioned, I was travelling from, you know, so there was a lot more time in it. It was good. Like, I suppose it came to an end eventually. I was probably 23 when I stopped. And I stopped, as I said, for a couple of months, and I went back here in Munster Senior League. But it wasn't that much of a transition, you know. I kind of went, I was part-time anyway in the League of Ireland, and it was the same, then kind of dropping down slightly. But I think what you find as well when you're playing kind of First Division League of Ireland, or like a lot of the players playing Munster Senior League, or I suppose Leinster Senior League, like a lot of them are ex-League of Ireland. Like, we played St. Martha's last season, and there was five or six lads I knew from growing up underage from Dublin, and all playing Munster Senior or Leinster Senior League now. So the standard is still very good, you know. And I think obviously this game, it's pre-season for us still. But like when we played Tralee last year, it was 4-3 after extra time. And so if we had a slice of luck on the day, we'd have done a job. And I'm like, so no, it's not that different, just a bit more social side with this, obviously, and slightly less commitment to it. And that suits lads as well when they're working, you know.
Yeah, I was looking, even you spent a bit of time at Cabin Teely as well. Was Jason Knight there around the time you were playing? Was he here?
Yeah, so his brother Kevin would have been playing with us. He'd be playing left back. Kevin was away as well when he was younger. And Jason would have been kind of starting to train with us and stuff. He was good. Certainly didn't think he'd have went on and done as well as he has. You know, he's done absolutely fantastic, to be fair to him. Like, and it's tough as well when you do go to England to, you know, when get into the first team and stay there and start racking up appearances. So credit to him, he's done absolutely brilliantly. But he would have been training with us at the time, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, some performance against France, wasn't it, in the qualifiers? He must have been kind of looking and going, wow, that's amazing.
100%, yeah, you're playing against some, like, France, you're playing against some top players, like, and, you know, big stadiums, big crowds, and he's still young. He's quite a bit younger than me. I'm 27. I don't know what Jason is like, but Matt, he's doing absolutely brilliantly, and credit to him.
You went away yourself. Were you at Burnley, was it, Evan?
Yeah, Jesus, that was fucking 10, 11 years ago now. I went away when I was 16. So I was over there for kind of 3 years, and I came home then. And that's when I kind of got into the League of Ireland. I started at Waterford. Mac actually was down there at the time playing with us now. Another couple of lads from Cork, and Darren Murphy. He was there for a while. I think it was 4 or 5 of us travelling up north from Cork. So it was good. And then obviously on to kind of Longford, Cabin Teely, we called for a small while. And then it was chapter closed then.
Yeah, and look, the Burnley experience would be interesting, just because, you know, we often hear about, you know, lads going over to England and being a success, and, you know, getting, you know, maybe working their way up the leagues and all that kind of stuff. But it doesn't work out sometimes for whatever reason. It could be injuries, it could be who knows. But what was your own experience like, and how did you manage, you know, I suppose, then the coming back then from the UK?
Good. I loved it when I was over there, obviously. I suppose when I was kind of 11, 12, you start kind of getting on the Cork teams, the emerging talent, and it kind of snowballs from there, you know. Was delighted, loved it over there, obviously. Out of school, 16, training full-time, happy days. Coming home was fine. I suppose going from playing in England to League of Ireland to Munster Senior League, there was a transition. I went from full-time to kind of part-time to obviously slightly less time now with the Munster Senior League. So, and it was over a couple of years. There was no cliff edge with it, you know. It's not like I was playing in England one day and I was kind of tried an injury the next and I couldn't play at all. Like, so get in mind that it is what it is. Most players go away, and the reality is, you know, you might not get a career in it. So I didn't mind it at all. I had a good stab off it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we know, look, in Gaelic football, there is a huge rivalry between Cork and Kerry. This Kerry club in the League of Ireland, still in its embryonic stage, their first ever season. So they haven't really had a chance to build up rivalries. But the fact that it is a Cork club against a Kerry club, is there a bit of extra spice to this game at the weekend?
No, I'd say if it was against a Dublin club, no, would be more spiced, to be honest. But not at all, no. I think we're all looking forward to the night out in Killarney afterwards as well. Nah, it'll be a good game. Look, obviously Kerry are going to be a little bit fitter than us, but... and I was only talking to a fellow there today. He said they have a couple of good players, but not looking forward to it. It'll be a good game, good pitch, bit of an atmosphere. Obviously, there'll be plenty from Ringman travelling down as well. So, really looking forward to it. We've nothing to lose. We're the underdogs for once, I suppose, which is interesting.
Mount Hawk Park, it's a decent facility as well. Good pitch down there, so no excuses on that front.
No, absolutely not. So I don't think there will be, really, I think. Like, we're back training in 2 weeks as well. Like we're only off for a month, so it's not like we're that unfit, you know. Obviously, lads are going on holidays and stuff, but we're fine. We had a couple of friendlies. We had a game there now last night again, and we're training Wednesday, like, so we're taking over. We'll be fine.
Yeah, and look, the gap in standard, because we know what Billy Denny is doing down there, Kerry. He's trying to, you know, it's building from the academy. He wants to bring through academy players into the team. So, you know, it's something that the supporters...
I don't think they have a choice. I don't think there's many lads now going to be wanting to go down to Kerry, to be honest.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah. But it is, what I'm saying is it's an inexperienced side, and especially at the back, there's a lot of young, inexperienced players at the back. You know, this gives Ringman Rangers a chance to beat a League of Ireland club in the first round of the FAI Cup.
100%. And sure, if there was anyone watching the game last year against Tree, it was an even game, you know. I think your man Curran, like, they got a penalty. I think your man Enda Curran got a hat-trick. As I said, we missed some chances and we probably gave away one or two late goals as well. So, we certainly don't have anything to be worrying about going down there, you know. It's not Shamrock Rovers we're playing either, so.
Yeah. Absolutely. Listen, if anybody hasn't seen Ringman playing before, is there any players apart from yourself, Evan, to be watching out for at the weekend?
Yeah, we're kind of strong all over the park, really. Like, to be fair, Basil's brought in one or two this year, good additions, and we kind of kept everyone from last year, really bad one or two, you know. So, good size. I think they're all good. I suppose Mac is probably a good player to be watching if you're going down. He's good on the ball. He's bright. He's clever and playing a couple of positions. So. Yeah, Maka, Garrod, obviously, if he's there. Hoggy at the back is solid. Ewan, I'll have to name them all now or I'd be killed. Like, they're all, we've a good side, yeah, pretty good side. So.
Don't suppose any good luck message. He's in his close season. Quivian Keller, has he been in touch with the club at all for the big game this weekend?
Couldn't tell. I don't know the lad at all. I know his brother Faker, all right, he would have played with me underage, but I don't know Quivian, so I have no idea if he was in touch or not.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Evan, been a pleasure speaking to you. Thanks a million for taking some time out to talk to us ahead of the FAI Cup action this weekend, and best of luck.
Stephen, much appreciated, mate. Thanks very much.
Well, delighted to be joined on the podcast this week by St. Michael's manager, John Cremins. John, would you believe this is the second time your club has been mentioned on the podcast this week? I've had a previous guest, Willie Armshaw of Treaty United, on the podcast, and he spoke with great fondness of St. Michael's. Did you have any dealings with Willie when he was at the club?
Yeah, I was coaching the first team 2 years ago when Willie played with the first team. And actually, I'm heavily involved with the schoolboy club, so I've been coaching Willie since he was nine. So, wow. Yeah, I heard that actually. It was nice to hear.
Yeah, super player. And I thought he made some very good points. And it's stuff I've heard as well, John, from League of Ireland players, that perhaps sometimes the option isn't taken by younger players at League of Ireland clubs to maybe go and play some non-league football with a club like St. Michael's or any of the clubs like Leinster Senior League, wherever the case may be, to actually get some game time playing against adult male players rather than playing for the academies. It's something I'm sure you would echo as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, a lot of lads coming out of the under-19 National League, and it's a big step, obviously, to the senior ranks. So, I think clubs like ours would be a good avenue for them to get, like you said, get some game time at what we would like to think is a pretty high level. Get some game time in the adult game, and I think it would set them up nicely for going back into the clubs then.
And what's your thinking, just from your own perspective as well? And there has been some talk of perhaps setting up a third division in League of Ireland football. Is that something you think would be a good idea?
Yeah, I suppose you would wonder if the appetite is there for a third tier. Definitely among the more senior teams in the Leinster Senior League and Munster Senior League, was something that might be an option for them. I think with clubs like ourselves, you know, we'd have to look at the financial aspect and the travelling aspect, because we are a small club, in terms of size and in terms of the money side of it. So, while there might be an appetite, I'm not really sure whether financially it would make sense.
Yeah, I totally understand what you mean. Perhaps you could look at something maybe like, say the likes of Germany, they have these kind of regional leagues when you go further down the tiers, and perhaps maybe that's something that could be looked at. So you're kind of keeping the lower divisions as playing local clubs.
Yeah, I mean, definitely if it was regionalised and the travelling was kept to a minimum, and then obviously the costs, it's definitely something that might take off.
Yeah. Now, this isn't your first week building up to a big cup game this year, because you did have a run right up till the final of the FAI Junior Cup. What was that experience like? Albeit, I understand it was a pretty agonising defeat in the end on penalties.
Yeah, I suppose on reflection now, it was a great cup run. Obviously, when you lose the final, and particularly on penalties, there's the initial disappointment of losing the final, and when you get to an FAI final, obviously you want to win it. But you know, looking back now, you know, we travelled to Gorey in the semi final. We were in Donegal for the quarter final. We were in Dublin. You know, a lot of really big games, a lot of really good games for what was essentially a really young squad. So great learning experience for everybody. And yeah, you know, a positive experience.
Yeah, and I understand that around Tiptown, the locals really got on board with the build-up to that final, green and white bunting all over the place leading up to it. What's it like then, or what's it mean for the club now, having such a good First Division side like Waterford arriving to your ground at Cook Park there for an FAI Cup match?
Strange one. It's obviously, it's a huge occasion for the club. And, you know, Waterford are a well-known team in the League of Ireland, and particularly, you know, we're only an hour from Waterford. So, you know, Waterford and Limerick and Cork would be, their results would be well looked at, you know, around here. So from the club's point of view, it will be a great occasion. I suppose from a footballing point of view and a manager's point of view, having to deal with a team that are on the type of run that Waterford are on and the way they're playing, and it may be a difficult experience for us, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. I might talk to you about those just a moment. Just regards to St. Michael's yourselves, are you still in pre-season now at this stage?
We are, and to be honest, we only finished up the season the first week in June. So we probably wouldn't even be back pre-season, you know, at this stage in July, other than the fact that the Waterford game is on the horizon. And you know, we got to get the guys back, and we got to do a little bit of work, a lot of work, in preparation for the game. Ideally, we probably wouldn't have been coming back pre-season until next weekend. But, so we came back last week. We get 5 or 6 sessions into the boys before the game.
And how many years is this now you've managed the club, managed this team?
I'm actually in my first year on this occasion, but it's my third occasion managing the team over the years. I've been involved with the first team for the last 6 years as a coach, with James Watt being the manager, and he stepped away. So I stepped into the role this year just to keep, I suppose, to keep continuity, because we've got a really good young group of players coming through. And there's a lot of work, and there's a lot of potential in the group. So just felt it was important to keep that continuity going.
Your own footballing philosophy then. I might have got a little insight when I was sending you a WhatsApp earlier. I saw the phrase, keep it on the deck. Taking after Mr. Brian Clough there, maybe, are you?
I think what we do within the club is we produce a lot of really good footballers. There's a lot of really good footballers around Tipperary. We're not the biggest side physically, so whether any other option would be something we could look at, probably not anyway. But no, I mean, we like to get the ball down, we like to play. How much of that we get to do on Saturday remains to be seen. But from my own point of view, I like to give the lads the opportunity to just go and express themselves and go and play.
Yeah, I know what you mean. What would you make then of your opposite number, Keith Long? He's had some good success with Bohemians in his previous job, but now Waterford, he's really hit the ground running. And of course, with Alan Reynolds as his assistant there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Keith has been around the League of Ireland a long time, and is, you know, he's a very successful manager. Alan's been around Waterford for a long period of time, so I think it seems to be in a very good combination. I mean, they're playing some really, really good football at the moment, scoring lots of goals. I think they'll be pushing for promotion.
Yeah, they sure will. I suppose you're always looking for little tiny advantages when it's a team like yourselves going up against a big giant like this Waterford. But you do have a little one in the fact that you would have seen, you can, or you have access to watch some of their games where they won't know to expect what to expect from you guys.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. We've lot of lads were looking at the League of Ireland football anyway, even before the draw was made. So we would have been well aware of how well Waterford were going even prior to the draw. But obviously, those games have created a lot more interest around the place since then. They may not have seen a whole lot about us, and I'm sure they'll prepare for the game in the manner in which they normally do. But I think the task in front of us is significant.
Yeah, and made even tougher by the fact that they've got the not just the First Division's top scorer, but the top scorer in the League of Ireland, two divisions, Ronan Coughlin. Do you have a plan for him? Do you put a man marker on him? Or how do you even start trying to think of a plan for him?
Yeah, I mean, look, to be fair, he's on fire, and we will have to deal with him. But I mean, you know, I think all around they're a really, really good side, and we're just going to have to set ourselves up right, and I'm just going to try and be compact and stay in the game for as long as we can. And look, you know, when you come up with against individuals of that quality, you just got to hope that on the day things go right for us, and we'll try our best to keep him out.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a game plan then yourselves, or is it all about trying to stop Waterford first and then maybe hit them on the break? Or do you have a game plan you'd like to implement in the hope that maybe you can try and hit them early?
Yeah, it's a strange one because generally, you know, we go into most games on the front foot. We like to press teams high. We like to go at teams. Obviously, that is not going to be the case on Saturday. And you know, look, you have to respect Waterford, and you've got to respect the quality they have. I think we need to be compact. We need to have a game plan. We need to keep ourselves in the game. We have some really good attacking players, you know, like Jimmy Carr is an amateur international for a long time now. We've got one or two lads that actually, funny enough, have been on the books of Waterford over the years. So we'd like to think that we can create some problems for them going forward. But I think, you know, primarily we've got to make sure that, you know, we're not opened up early.
Yeah, absolutely. Good pitch. The last time I was down at Cook Park, they had a really good pitch there. How's that looking for the weekend?
Yeah, it's looking great. To be fair, the ground staff have been working hard again over the last couple of weeks. Normally, this time of the year, it's closed down, and you know the birthday rain and all that work that normally goes on pre-season happens. So the lads have been working really hard to get the pitch looking really well. As I say, it is a big occasion for the club, and we're very proud of Cook Park and the ground and the pitch than it is. So we'll be doing everything in our power to make sure that that's top quality.
Yeah, it's a really good facility you have down there. I have to say, I was very impressed when I was down. In fact, I think the last time I was down might have been for one of your alumni doing a press briefing, Shane Long, of course, former Republic of Ireland international. John, he has indicated that he might be retiring from football. Is there any chance at all you might be able to get him in for the game at the weekend, maybe, if he's around? I'm sure he might be back on his holidays.
Yeah, funnily enough, that's all had crossed our mind, all right. look, I think to be fair to our guys, you know, the reward for being in the Senior Cup, you know, is because of the run that we went on last year and getting to the semi-final at the FAI Junior Cup. So, you know, it's a huge day for our players as well. It's an opportunity to, you know, to test themselves against, like, professional players, really, you know, and players that are playing at a higher standard. So all the lads are really looking forward to the day and looking forward to the occasion.
Yeah, absolutely. I just ask you finally, because, John, I suppose the fact that the two leagues are out of sync, you know, obviously League of Ireland Summer Football, you guys are seeing less and less kind of, I suppose, shocks in the opening round with clubs who aren't, you know, sort of amateur clubs that are playing against the League of Ireland clubs are in a different stage of their season. What's your own view on that? Do you think something has to change?
Yeah, it is difficult. And not only just in terms of this week's game. But, you know, I mean, we've got lads away on holidays now because, as I said, our window of 6 to 7 weeks is quite short between the end of our season and the start of the new season. And that's the time that lads will take an opportunity to go on holidays. So we are missing 3 or 4 lads that are on holidays. We're obviously in pre-season. And, you know, even at different occasions over the last number of years, going back to Willie Armstrong, where you're starting to build something and then, you know, the League of Ireland clubs will come in maybe in November, December, looking to sign players for their new season. You're in the middle of the season, you're on a good cup run or you're going well in the league, and then you lose a couple of players. Okay, you may lose them anyway, but at least if you lose them, if we're all working off the same season, and at least you can plan for that. But it can be difficult when lads are coming and going sort of December, January time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, John, you've been very good with your time. I'm delighted for you getting a big game like this on Saturday, albeit, as you say, against such a brilliant club like Waterford. But look, hopefully enjoying the occasion, and you never know what happens on the day.
No problem. Thanks a million.
Well, it's great to have Gavin Cullen, the manager of Cockhill Celtic, on the podcast this week, building up to the first round of FAI Cup matches for 2023. Gavin, starting off asking you about the Intermediate Cup final at the Showgrounds last April, and you faced a formidable side in Rockmount, and of course they won back-to-back FAI Intermediate Cups, but you only lost the final on penalties. How did you reflect on that game afterwards?
Look, obviously losing the game was disappointing, but overall the occasion and the crowd and the atmosphere and what we accomplished in the cup run was a lot more positive than negative. So look, we took a lot of positives out of it and we enjoyed it. We enjoyed the occasion. Obviously, going down the penalties on the day, we felt we'd done okay. Felt we probably shaded the game and we're probably as good a team. Pound for pound as Rockmount, maybe better. No, look, when it goes down to penalties, there's not much you can do. So we weren't overly too hard on ourselves losing them penalties, but it was disappointing.
Yeah. The cup run itself, and obviously the final was a big thing, but when you kind of factor in the final and then the cup run itself, what do you think as a manager and players you've learned from the experience?
It was a great experience. Look, we had tough ties. We were in Dublin 4 times and Cork twice in the cup run. So it was a major, major accomplishment to actually get there because they're always tough ties, isn't it, there? We always believed over the last few years that we'd decide as good as anybody in the country at that level. And I think it was sort of just that we sort of proved it at last, you know.
You took over as manager of the side in 2015, was it?
2015, yeah, my first game in charge actually was the first round of the FAA Cup as well. We played Longford, I think it was.
Oh, Longford Town, yeah. And yeah. Tell me, I believe you weren't exactly too keen on the job, a little bit of a reluctant manager, shall we say, at the start.
Yeah, well, suppose I was still playing. A lot of my friends were on the team as well, and mates, and it was sort of, you know, possibly worried about that interaction of becoming their boss then in terms of, you know, demanding certain things and all, and trying to set standards and all that there. But look, they work with me. They've been brilliant. The players have been absolutely brilliant over the last seven years or so. And actually the whole thing has improved and got better in that period. So look, I love doing it. I love managing teams. It's a big sacrifice and a big time, but look, I enjoy it as well.
You were a former goalkeeper with Finn Harps. Yep. You don't see a huge amount of goalkeepers at any level of the game, maybe going on to management, maybe doing a bit of coaching or whatever. Is that something you always wanted to do when you were playing?
No, it wasn't. When I was playing, it wasn't at all. Like I always felt I was a bit of a leader playing and a good talker and a communicator on the pitch, but it wasn't anything that I sort of wanted or had ambitions to do. Probably your answer to the first question, there's not many goalkeepers, probably because they're all mad as hell, so it probably doesn't help, you know what I mean. But look, I was sort of aggressive and on a pitch and loud on a pitch, but as a manager, look, I can talk with people, I can deal with people quite well as well, so look, it works both ways as well.
Yeah, and I think maybe the position of a goalkeeper is undervalued maybe when you're considering a manager, because you have one of the best views of the game. You're kind of, you know, watching the game sometimes, you know, with I'm not saying you have nothing to do, but there's spells in the games where you're standing, you're observing. So you have like a really good view and time to think about what's actually going on in front of you.
Oh, absolutely. Like I feel good goalkeepers can actually help control games and manage games and see things out. I always believe that goalkeepers that make lots of saves and stuff like that, they ain't doing their job properly. You know, if they're doing their job properly, they're getting players in positions and players are listening to them and they don't have as many saves to make. You know, and if you look at the best goalkeepers in the world, you know, they're not overworked, but when they are worked in, they come up with the goods. And I think that's key to that position.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because it is a position as well that's been, it's revolutionised over the last decade. And I suppose with managers like Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola at the highest level, trying to get more out of their goalkeepers and turning them into more outfield players as well. What have you made of that evolution of the position?
Oh, that's brilliant. Like a goalkeeper can dictate play now. You know, they can get the game going, they can speed it up, they can slow it down. You know, some of the best passers in the game are probably goalkeepers at this point. You know, that's evolutionized from originally the back pass rule came in and it probably retired a lot of the older goalkeepers at that point because they weren't great with their feet. But now any goalkeeper worth their salt can play outfield, can do well with the ball and good vision, and say they can dictate the game a lot more as well and become involved a lot more, which is good.
Yeah, before I move on to the cup then it's as well, because I was really keen on speaking to somebody involved with one of the Donegal clubs, and I suppose you have an interesting view because you're formerly a Finn Harps as well. We know Donegal is an absolute hotbed for soccer, that northwest region. You go into Sligo then as well, obviously with big clubs there. And we've seen, you know, so many great internationals, the likes of Shay Given, Paddy Bonner. We've got Amber Barrett as well, who's become a hero on that Irish women's team, playing at the World Cup over the next couple of weeks. What's the situation with Finn Harps, or your own view on the situation with, they're obviously looking for this funding to try and, you know, renovate the whole, not just the stadium itself, but to, you know, build a proper academy there in Ballybuffet. It's obviously kind of slowed down a little bit, but there does seem to be kind of, maybe optimism that the government will start to put investment in there. So just wanted to kind of maybe get your view on what's going on up there.
Oh, look, it's an absolute slow burner. The stadium itself has taken way, way too long. It's been talked about and banded about for, and actually started, the contractor had started on site maybe 7, 8, 9 years ago. Like I've when I was playing there was talk about the new stadium and really keen interest to get in it, and they're still not in it in 2023. It's probably a few years away yet, but Finn Harps need that stadium. They need that central base, the academy set up and stuff like that. I would know quite well. I know a lot of people involved in it now, but we actually, their reserve team would have played in the Ulster Senior League as well. So a lot of our better young players and squad players will play in that. And they're missing a base. They're moving about pitches. They're training everywhere. They're paying rent to train everywhere. And it's not good. It's not good for a senior club to do that. Even when you compare the likes of Cockhull Celtic, you know, they have 3 grass pitches and a full-size Astro, where Finn Harps don't have any of that, bar Finn Park, which is, look, it's well past the point of rescue, you know. So, like, they really, really need the new stadium. They really need the academy base, and I think they'll flourish after that if they do.
Yeah, because there's so much good young footballing talent in that area as well, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. There's always been good footballers in this area. Possibly with Finn Harps going up and down the divisions, maybe didn't get the right opportunities, but there's players playing in the Irish League, there's players playing at good level and intermediate, there's players playing, you know, with Derry as well, that are all from the area as well. So,
well, the one team who will be getting very acquainted with the area over this weekend is Bray Wanderers, going to the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Ground up in Buncrana. Tell us what they can expect when they go up there this weekend.
Oh, look, they'll come up. Our pitch and setup's excellent. The facilities are very, very good at the club. They'll be welcome, so they will. But look, once it comes to the game, I suppose we have to do a job and they have to do a job. We give it our best. Obviously, they'll go into the game favourites because of the League of Ireland side and they're in season as well. But look, there's nothing to fear for us and there's nothing to lose for us as a group. So look, we're just going to give it a go and see what comes out of it on Saturday.
Yeah, because there was a small window between that intermediate final, and I'm sure you've probably brought forward your pre-season dates, have you, for ahead of this game?
Yeah, we started probably 3 weeks earlier than we would have realistically started. We probably only would have started this week or next week for next season. So, look, it's not ideal. It seems to be every season we get into this, we speak about, and this competition, we speak about it. But for the amateur sides, it is a tough ask to get a result against the League of Ireland side at this stage of the at this time of the year, as such, you know.
Yeah, I asked John Cremin, who's in charge of St. Michael's, about this as well. Like, how do you remedy it? I don't know how you kind of come up with a way of you know, making the amateur sides more competitive unless you change the setup of the season.
I think that's the answer. I think calendar football is the answer. I think the FAA missed a beat when they moved the National Leagues and League of Ireland to suppose what they call summer football. I think everything should have moved along with it, and it didn't. So it creates different transfer windows. It creates a lot of movement from players at the different levels as well. So it's not ideal, and it's definitely not ideal when you're going into games like this at the weekend.
The one thing I would say, Gavin, is that Bray Wanderers are under a bit of pressure now for that playoff place. They lost at the weekend against Wexford, who are only 2 points behind them now. They've also got the likes of Treaty United and Finn Harps as well coming up, just 5 points behind them. So I just wonder, will Ian Ryan be maybe a little bit concerned about playing his strongest team going into this game? That might give you guys a bit of hope.
Maybe. Hopefully. I would probably say the opposite. I would say because of a couple of results they had and maybe under a bit of pressure that they'll need to come up here and get a result. So they'll possibly go as strong as they possibly can and try and put the game to bed as early as they can. But that, look, again, I don't know what they'll be thinking. Sometimes when squad players come in, they have a point to prove and they'll do better than the players that are playing week in, week out. So, look, I'm sure they're all good players and they're all good pros, so I'm sure whatever team they choose to play will be a very good side.
And is there any players in the Cockhill Celtic team you think might be able to give them some problems this weekend?
Hopefully all of us. But look, we've some very good players, there's no doubt about it. We've players like Garvin Freel, Luke Rudden, Stephen Duffy, Corey McBride in the forward areas that in my opinion could give anybody a baller on their day. You know, we've proper good defenders, Peter Doherty, Ashton McColgan, Jason Breslin. We've actually signed Kieran Gallagher in the last couple of weeks. Our goalkeeper Harry Doherty unfortunately hurt his knee, so had they bring in, it was either bring in another senior keeper or play myself. So thankfully Kieran answered the call. Former Finn Harps keeper, very, very good keeper, very good lad. So he'll be making his debut on Saturday as well, which is a great game for him to be involved in as well and getting back into it.
That's great.
So we've lots of good players all over the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, it's going to be a great occasion, I'm sure, for everybody up in the area there around Buncrana. I know, speaking to your club secretary, Carla, who was very excited about the game. So, listen, I hope it goes really well for you guys. Best of luck in it, Gavin, and thanks a million again for taking time out to speak to us.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Stephen.
Well, delighted to be joined on the podcast this week by the Kilbarrick United defender, Dan O'Byrne. I gather it is still in defence you're playing these days, Dan, and that's where you'll be playing for Kilbarrick United.
Yeah, well, so far the legs they're not ready, just ready yet for midfield. They're like the old days, but yeah, probably defender. Thanks for having me on, Stephen.
No bother, Dano. How did the move to Kilbarrick United come about?
Well, I was at Bowes Schoolboy, and I was in and out. I was playing 19th, and then kind of get into the first team. I was only still a kid, but wasn't really playing regularly. Then I joined Kilbarrick, maybe 19 I was, and played the year, and it was brilliant playing with the lads I knew from the area, and it was great. We went all the way in all the trophies, great success, and I got into the AOL side. Got a move back. I was actually on trials with Bradford, and I played against Bowes and Athlone, and then Harry asked me back up to Bowes, and from there having a look back, and every season I said to the lads would be like, oh, when you come back to Kilbarrick, you'll be at the games, or I'll be in the local, or to be at you saying, when you're coming back. And I said, when you're in the top league, I'll come back. And the way it's worked out really well. Like, they're in the top, Lancer Senior now, it's brilliant for the area. and like that. I played up north last year. And of the two young lads now, one of them's 10, the other's 3. So I think it's time to give them a little bit of time that I've missed out on over the years from playing football and the commitments and stuff like that. So it's worked out really well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Dano. Just you obviously had a spell with Warren Point and before that Shells, and you obviously had a good few years with Bohemians as well. And just wondering what it was that maybe saw you stepping away then from the paid ranks of football. And I suppose it is that kind of family time that you are missing out on, you feel.
Yeah, it was like, obviously it's a lot of commitment, and sometimes you look at it and you think to yourself, what you get in, you don't really get out that kind of way. Like, I'm 30 now, and I've done as good as I could have done in my ability. Like, you could say, like, I didn't win anything, yeah, but from my ability, I'm glad to say I've done what I've done, and that, if that makes sense. I wasn't a superstar or anything like that, but it was, from what I had, I got out of it in that kind of sense. And now it's the time, I think, looking back and where I'm going, I think it's the right time to step back from it and start enjoying. It is still serious, and I still will commit as much as I did when I was playing professional, as if you could say, and give it a good go.
I was even looking back at some of your matches with Bohemians. That was some team you're in around that time as well. And you mentioned Owen Heary, he was doing a fantastic job with Bohemians. And obviously that's why Sligo Rovers came in and brought him over there. But I'm looking at the likes of Pico Lopez was in there playing alongside you. Look what he's gone on to achieve. And likes of Dinny Corcoran as well, one of the best strikers in the league for a number of years. It was quite the team you're in then as a young player.
Yeah, like that. They were all good, hardy lads, committed lads. Like, they were, as I said, we weren't the best superstars, but we always kept the offer, the jersey. And I think back then the Bulls fans loved that, and still to this day, just give your all to the jersey and they love it. Like that Pico, he technically wasn't the best player, but he was always committed, and look at him now. He's technically brilliant, and his commitment to the game, and he's gone on to be an international playing in Cape Verde. Can't go wrong. Like, and Dinny, what can you say about that lad? He's done it. One of the best strikers in the league.
Absolutely. And
there's numerous players in the team that I was lucky to play with.
Yeah, 100%. What kind of, would you say, when you think back, what were your best memories of playing? And even the Bohemians with Shelburne and Warren Point, what kind of standouts do you have when you look back on that career?
Obviously, the one that stands out is against Rovers. Like, when I was growing up, I was a Bowes fan. I was going to Dalyman since I'm 8 years of age. And over the years, my best mate, Aaron, he's a part of Kabarak team now. We used to say score against Rovers and Talla, and that's the gun on the shoot. That was the one thing we used to say, and like that, I went on to do it. So there's little things, like, not many players would say that growing up. Maybe it's changed a little bit now, the way the support for the game has gone. But like that, when I used to go, there was 400 fans, Rovers fans at games, and I used to love it going to it on a Friday night, home and away. And I went on to do what I said I'd do. And that's the one thing that stands out. But obviously, you've got other ones. You've got other memories. Sometimes you take it for granted. Looking back now, I didn't grasp as much as I should have. But I'd always loved it.
And I suppose as the game has changed over the last decade or so, just on your own position of maybe defending centre-back, how do you think that's kind of evolved in the time that you've been playing?
Yeah, like, I was younger, I was a lot quicker and stuff like that. But as the years go on, I've spoke a lot more, been more vocal in the game, and matured a lot, obviously, over the years. And the players I played with, I've learned a lot of. And I've learned a lot.
And when you look, when you're playing now at Kilbarrick United, I even see, some Leinster Senior League games, and you do feel, and a little bit like the League of Ireland, that the standard of football has risen over the last decade or so.
Yeah, 100%. Like, obviously, you can see, and you can hear the old saying of the lads in the Leinster Senior League used to say, it'll make the step up, no problem. But it is a massive step up. Like, I've noticed it going down the leagues. Like, I was obviously playing the Premier Division, then was in the First Division with Shelburne, and then the Premier Division up north and the First Division up north. There is big steps, and to get to the top half, like maybe Premiership in this league, in the League of Ireland, is massive. It is a big drop. Like, it's overall, you don't get a minute on the ball. It's more set up, and like that going into Finn Harps on Friday, I don't know if the lads realise how much of a big chance it is, and to have a go with them.
Yeah, it certainly is. What can you tell me a bit about Kilbarry? Because I assume you're like the other clubs. I've spoken to Ringman Rangers and St. Michael's down in Tip. That's your pre-season at the moment.
Yeah, well, the lads finished late, especially like some of the lads, like the Ross de Gaffer. He was in the international amateurs. He was helping out there. He was assistant manager, and like he had only a week off. So we were only back since, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we were back training. We played one game against Ballymun on Friday night. Like, I haven't played a game since the middle of April. Now, that's a big break for me. But, like, some of the lads, they finished the end of May. So, like, you need that time off, but you got to look like it is a big game on Friday. And Finn Harps in the middle of a season. So, the momentum's on their side, but we'll give as good as we get, I'm sure.
Yeah, and well, the season hasn't gone well, maybe for Finn Harps, or as well as they would have wanted. And I'm sure they are still fighting for that playoff place. I'd imagine Dave Rogers, their manager, is looking at a cup run, thinking this is a real way to get supporters on our side. So I don't think they're going to go and face Kilbarry United away from home, thinking, you know, we'll put out a second string side here.
Yeah, 100%. I spoke to another club, and I was speaking about the game. And he's in the fourth division, and he says the one club I didn't want is Kilbarry. Like, the momentum is there, and especially they're out there getting the game in Greendale. A lot of work has gone on with the committee, and Kilbarry United, fair play to the lads for getting the game on in Greendale, because it's a big thing for the area. But like that, they haven't lost a league game there in 4 years, and they want that. Like, obviously, I think they lost one cup game, so it'd be interesting to see how it goes.
Yeah, can you tell me a bit about the football Kilbarry United are playing there? Who's the manager, and what's the kind of style we're expecting to see from them on Friday night?
Yeah, Ross Carrick's the manager. He's well experienced in the amateur game. He's the gaffer at the assistant gaffer at the Ireland Amateur, so he's well experienced in the game. He's played at a high level. I can't really say much about what way they play, but they'll. There's loads of energy, obviously, from training and watching train. They'd be aggressive. The will to win is there. You can even see in training the boys want to win. No matter what game it is or what way it is, they'll always want to win, and that'll be the same and hopefully a little bit more on Friday.
Yeah, and there's like, because there's that thing, I suppose, when you're playing a League of Ireland club in a cup match like this, there's that extra bit of adrenaline or something that, goes through the body for these players, that it's not something that you can really quantify. Like, it's this could be something that really gives an extra edge to Kilbarry in their performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been on both ends now, and you can see, like, I was on the both ends of being a Finn Harris player going into the game against Kilbarry on Friday, and sometimes you do lack that little bit. But as you said, Finn Harris haven't gone as the way they hoped they would, especially with them being full time or half and half, full time, part time, and he will have to get a result on Friday. I think the pressure is on them, and I think it's a free hit from our side of things, and be well up for it.
Greendale, as you mentioned, I think the tickets are £10 going in on Friday night, which is a great chance for the club to boost the coffers. It's an AstroTurf pitch, I believe, as well. Is that maybe going to give a bit of an advantage to Kilbarry United?
No, absolutely not, especially not anymore this day and age. The amount of, I'm sure Finn Harps, I think they train on an all-weather pitch, so you can't really say that. Not a big soggy Finn Park anyways. The ball will move quick on it, and I'd say Finn Harps are well used to it. It'd be no excuse.
I believe Kilbarry United have in their ranks one of the best goal scorers in amateur football in the country, Derek Hyland. Is he fit and ready to go for this game?
Yeah, I don't think he is, to be honest. I don't know if he'll make it or not. I don't want to give that away. But
okay.
Yeah, he's a great young player. He scores. He's a goal scorer. He's a proven goal scorer in the leagues this the last couple of years. But I don't know if he's going to make it, to be honest. There's other lads there, a few other little hidden gems.
Well, you keep Mr. Rogers guessing there. Is there any other players, though, you kind of maybe earmark for people to look out for this game on Friday night?
It's a squad game. There's one or two, all right, that could really make the step up and to keep an eye on. But they're a good squad. It's a good bond to the team. And the standard is really similar enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, Dan, I hope the night goes well for you and for Kilbarrick as well. It's great for an area like that in North Dublin to get a big night like this in the Cup, and I hope it goes really well and there's a big crowd there. And best luck yourself with the career with Kilbarrick. You know, it's great to be back at the local club again.
Yeah, brilliant, Sim. Delighted. Hopefully it goes well Friday for the area and the lads.
LOI Match Day on Off the Ball.